here because I think we're going to take some time with, looks like a pretty death by chocolate looking thing out there in the kitchen.
It's not for you. It's
oh, I know. It's for everybody else. I'm here to share.
Right. Oh.
After me, you come first. My mother used to say. So we're going through this Lent time, and you know, I've been talking about this open secret, and so kind of want to look at that this morning. And then, because Garth introduced the whole thing of our awareness last week from the military standpoint, and Gregory took it to heart and mentioned this morning that his awareness level... Did you tell Garth already?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's moved from orange down to back to yellow, which is a great thing. And so I want us to look at that, and I've got the letters down here so you can fill them in as he goes through these. And then I want us to look at our the verses we've been marinating on this week, see what God has done. So just this first paragraph this morning from the open secret in Colossians 3:16. Stop, stop, stop. What? Stop, don't talk.
The wanderer.
You told me it was a moment.
Okay. Are you recording now?
Yes.
Are we recording? I'm on? Uh-oh. This is official. Anyway, the first paragraph. Like a computer caught in a loop and needing to be rebooted, we too need a way to step off the treadmill, get off the train, shut off the noise, locate our souls, and allow our spirits to resync to the in Jesus life we've been given. More teaching, more reading, more studying, more info can't open the eyes of our hearts to discern the open secret. If that could work, we'd all be living in ecstatic celebration on a spiritual cloud nine. We're so into getting more information and learning and studying and getting degrees and getting diplomas and certificates and all this stuff as if that was the ultimate solution to all our problems. Unfortunately, we're the most degreed and certificated people in the history of creation, and we are among the most messed up people ever. So that's not working. There's got to be more. And so this, I talk about this computer being caught in a loop. There's another loop that can really help us, and there's a lot of parallels here. So I want Garth to share this OODA loop with us. And so the letters are down. You can fill them in as he kind of works his way through the OODA loop. So, Garth.
My turn.
It's your turn. You're on.
I'll have you hold that. All right. The time is right. I'll have you read 1 Corinthians 6:13.
Okay.
Get first one out there, horse. Be on your guard. If you've got your head in the sand or your earbuds in or that phone in your hand and you're walking around not seeing what's happening, you can't possibly be on your guard. And we've lost a lot of that as society. Mm-hmm. Last week we talked about Cooper's colors. White being completely relaxed, you're not aware. Usually when you're home, asleep, you're in a secure environment. Usually when I'm in bed going to sleep, the boys are up or Janice hasn't come to bed yet and I'm completely relaxed because I've got somebody else watching for me. That same thing works with the spirit. I don't have to worry about it because when I'm done at the end of the day, Lord, you've got the con, I'm going to shut down and get some rest. I don't worry about it. I sleep even harder when I know they're up because I've got somebody watching over me.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about the condition yellow. That's when you've turned your radar on. There may not be anything on the scope, but the radar is running. Orange is when you get a blip on the scope. Might not have to stand there with your mouth gaping, eyes protruding, and drool running down your chin. We can avoid all that. Mm-hmm. So without getting any farther into it, I'm going to turn this over to Don.
All right.
Hopefully I haven't completely ruined the direction you're headed.
No, this is great.
Well, that was great. Thank you.
That was great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don.
And, you know, so because we're talking about awareness, and I think that is part of our problem, not only aware of our surroundings, but spiritually aware. What have we been given? You know, I keep talking about this open secret that's in Colossians 3:16, and so that requires awareness. And we have a lot of outside stuff in our society and all of that, plus our own backgrounds and whatever, that conspire against us to make us not aware and just, you know, blundering our way through. And then when the really tough stuff comes up, we're not we haven't prepared any of that, so the enemy just picks us off. I mean, it's just like we're just sitting there waiting to be taken out of the game. So all of this awareness, this observing, the being able to decide, we can't decide if we're totally unaware. And so this time in Lent, as we go through and we see this stuff, that's why we looked at these verses. And so I don't know how much you had an opportunity to do that this week, but I was trying to encourage us to marinate in these several verses. And so the questions I'm asking now, so we'll just, if you have some things to share, just speak up and maybe the microphone will pick you up. But questions like, where did your marinating take you this week? Any new light bulbs come on for you? And do you now know the open secret in Colossians 3:16? So anybody find anything as you kind of thought about these verses this week? Anything stand out, open up for you? So one of the words that was kind of all the way through these verses was the word filled or fullness.
Yeah.
But there was one verse, you know, it's like you ever done the things. Which one of these is not like the others? Did you find the verse that was not like the others? I know Angela did. I know Sue did because she asked me, did you make a mistake on that reference? So, John 16:6. If someone has John 16:6, you want to read that verse, and then we'll.
Instead, you grieve because of what I've told you.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Yeah, is that the right one?
That's it. Yeah. What version is that?
This is the New Living Translation.
Okay, New Living. Okay. Anyone have that verse in a different version?
The New King James, but because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart.
Okay. So what is the filling in this verse?
Sorrow and grief.
Sorrow and grieving. Okay. So that's the verse of the 8 that is not like the others. What are all the others talking about? Maybe like John 10:10. Ephesians 4:13, Colossians. I don't have that verse. Colossians 2:10, Matthew 5:6.
John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Okay, have life to the full. John 17:13 also. Ephesians 1:23. Anybody got any of those verses? Just
I have, did you say Matthew 5:6?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I have that one. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Okay. So I'm hungering and thirsting for righteousness and will be filled.
Filled.
All right.
What did you say in John?
John 17:13.
It says, but now I'm coming to you and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves.
Have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Gives me chills. Ephesians 1:23, anyone there?
Oh, yeah, this is my favorite. I'm going to read 22 also. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
The fullness of him that fills all things. Wow. That's amazing. Ephesians 3:19.
And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
We can be filled with all the fullness of God. This is just crazy good stuff. Ephesians 4:13.
Until we all again,
attain
to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
To the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. Paul is just kind of blowing us away here with this stuff as we look at this. And then in Colossians 2:10, the last verse we're looking at. Maybe 9 and 10 together.
For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority.
Okay. So, what does this in Jesus' life look like from these verses?
Cool.
Pretty full. And, you know, after a birthday meal or Thanksgiving meal or Christmas meal, we all know what fullness is. Like, so full, the only thing to follow dinner is
a nap,
of course. Whatever it is in Turkey that makes us fall asleep, the something.
Tryptophan.
Okay, so anyway, it knocks us out. So we all know what fullness is in that sense. But here we're talking about we can be filled with the full measure of all the fullness of God who fills all things in every way. It's just like...
How many ways can you say
it? I know. Like, Paul is tripping over himself trying to get the full measure and the full description out there. So we go back to awareness and this observing and orienting ourselves. I think our old nature, our past, our family system, our culture leads us to not look and be oriented and observant of all that's been given to us here. So Colossians 3:16, that, you know, I rewrote, and I don't have my version here, but, you know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So I think our problem is the word of Christ doesn't often dwell in us richly. So the least little thing makes us feel like nothing ever goes our way. Everybody hates me. Guess I'm going to eat some worms. God's gone on vacation, forgotten my situation, and he's allowed me to get into this pit. As the word of Christ dwells in us richly, or we allow the word of Christ that is living in us to fill us up all the way to abundance, our awareness and our observance of what's going on around us and the way we take in information, as Garth was saying, we've already got this word of Christ dwelling in us richly. And so when junk comes our way, has anyone ever had junk come your way?
No.
Nah. It's been a long time. Can't remember, right? Yeah.
Okay. That's
it. So when life and junk comes our way, when stuff, whether it's just the natural stuff or whether the enemy is specifically targeting us to take us out, if we're oriented, fixed and oriented times four. That was the full. That's how they call it in Shane, isn't that how you guys do it? In when you're assessing somebody's in an accident, he's awake and observant or oriented times four. That's good.
Yes.
Oriented times zero means he's totally out and.
Yeah, he's unconscious and dying.
Okay. All right. So we don't want to be unconscious and dying, but we don't want to be oriented just at times one. We want to be times four. We fully know who we are, where we are, and what's going on. And if we are oriented times four in scripturally, with the word of Christ dwelling in us richly, and it's always right there for us, so when the arrows come, the attacks come, the phone call, the threatening letter, whatever it is, we've got the word of Christ dwelling in us richly, and the first thing that happens is that takes over the fullness of the word of Christ, all the big folds that we talk about. And, you know, can we read Ephesians 3, 20 and 21? Can someone do that for us? Those two verses.
What I liked about that verse before we go away is that your unauthorized version said saturate.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been picturing that in so many different ways. When I spill something on the table and all of a sudden that's all red right there because this red juice is saturated.
Mm-hmm.
The whatever is the cloth is saturated now.
Yeah.
That's good.
It is. So Ephesians 3, 20 and 21.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
He is able to do immeasurably, like beyond measure, all we ask or imagine. Now, I don't know if your imagination is quite as fertile as mine, but to think that he can do way beyond anything I could ever dream up, it's pretty insane. I mean, it's like, you've got to be kidding. I've got some really wild things that I could think about. But he's able to do immeasurably more than all we can ever ask or think. Is just incredible. So here we are, we have this in Jesus life that's been given to us with fullness just bursting out everywhere in all these scripture verses we've been reading and many more. And so, you know, then I found this quote from Albert Einstein at the bottom of the page there. Imagination is more important than information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's the information dude. So if he's even saying imagination is more important than information, then, you know, it's at least something we might want to think about. So just as we finish up and go rush off, well, we'll pray and then rush off for cake. But I've been asking the question, so do we know what the open secret is in Colossians 3:16?
Fullness.
Okay, fullness.
Yeah, because every single thing we've been talking about has been about some aspect of God being full in us.
Okay, so what is the secret of the fullness then? Why am I calling it an open secret about fullness? What do you think?
Because it can affect us in every part of our lives, no matter what we're doing or what we're going through. I just attended a birth, Friday into Saturday morning. And it was a pastor, and his wife is a worship leader at a church, local church here. And they were, when things were getting really close, and she was, I guess you would say, travailing the most, they were praising God and worshiping, and just such a witness to anybody that walked in. I mean, I've never experienced anybody else's birth like that. It was like they knew that they were there to have a baby, but they also, even though it was really hard in the end, they never lost sight of who was giving them strength And she was calling on the Lord for strength, and he was just praising God. And everybody in the room that walked in there was praising God because he was singing at the top of his lungs. It was just really amazing to me because, you know, he could have, it was their first baby, so he was probably afraid. You know, most dads are afraid a little bit, you know. And it was just, for me, it was really, it was a reminder to me that it doesn't matter what we're going through in our lives, no matter how scary it is or how difficult it is, or you know, how much anxiety we might have about something, that God is always with us, and he's always ready to give us everything we need, the grace we need, the strength we need to get through whatever it is. And so for me, that was really powerful, a really powerful moment.
May I ask a question real quick about that? Mm-hmm. Were you guys at home, like, was this a home
this
birth
or
even
hospital?
And you're saying every person walking was praising God looking? That's what I heard of.
There are a lot of
Christians
that work at the hospitals.
Yeah.
That reminds me, it reminds me of what Alan Gage posted about Sandy going into surgery in a French hospital, and she was singing a worship song. And Alan made the comment to me, I guess, in the email, if you didn't see it, but he just said, it's not a common occurrence in a French hospital. Someone going in for cancer surgery is singing a praise song. And they're just like, what is that song? And so everybody was like, wow. But yeah, this, oh.
Well, we could be making a left turn here, so I'm warning you ahead of time, but we don't know what's going on because we haven't been here, but to answer your question, I've just been more and more aware of how extravagantly God loves us. Mm-hmm. And I think when, particularly if you have a family background where you weren't always feeling that unconditional love, just to feel that extravagance, it's like you go to a store and you see something and the price tag is way, but God will say, I want you to have this. You're worth this to me. Mm. I love you with extravagance.
Right.
Mm. And when that happens, I think it's easier or almost automatic to be filled with him because of that love. And when the storms come, there is shelter in his arms. There is that knowledge of that extravagant, beyond what you can imagine, beyond what you've ever experienced, love.
And to connect it with what Garth was talking about, in psychology we use the word mindset, but the orientation. Our orientation is such that we don't lose sight of what we are going through and the travails.
Right.
It would be easy to say, well, you know, here I am basking in the glory of God, and that's so great and great and great and great, and then next thing you know, you're condemning, well, why was I worried about this? And that's not what he's saying. He's saying, whatever your situation is important. Your travails are important, and important, so important that God has given us the orientation, the mindset, all that we need to walk through that, which is where we can integrate that scripture that you said doesn't work. Even in sorrow, the sorrow is valuable, but the sorrow is part of it, and you have what it takes to walk through the sorrow.
Right.
Which is what we need when we interact with other people. Because if we're like, oh, it's going to be all right, God is whatever, whatever you talk to, that wasn't like what Jesus, man. Jesus knew how to weep with the weepers and when mourn with the mourners, whatever.
Sure.
But he is, you know, it's always, you always have exactly what's appropriate for each and every situation.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, this superabundance, full everything means there are no exceptions. He's the fullness of everything in every way at all times, way beyond the descriptions. And so, you know, my thought probably is we get filled with the richness of the Word of God that dwells in us, probably not 100% here, because, you know, we're leaky vessels and that information fills us up, and then bad things come and we and then we forget to stay filled. That's, but it's part of the provision, and so then, you know, in those situations we can really have praise. And you know, this week I was forbidden to go to the mailbox, and so this morning I got up and came downstairs, and there's this whole stack of birthday cards and greetings, and you know, so I'm reading through all of the notes that many of you wrote and many others as well. And you know, I told Sue, well, this is all the challenge. So at some point I really hope to be the man that all these people think I am. But it's really kind of overwhelming to read all this stuff, and it's like, okay, so every once in a while there's a card that reminds you of, you know, it's like, it's all about just an excuse to have cake or something, but, you know. So, God is great. So as we move our way through, you know, the remainder of this time of Lent, and focusing on the abundance, and so, you know, I really love, thank you, Patrick, for sharing that, because
yeah.
That idea of the grieving, even as Jesus goes through the Passion Week leading up to his crucifixion, there is, you know, there is this fullness of his awareness of the Father's accompanying him as he goes through. And, you know, there's that one very human moment on the cross when he cries out, "Why have you forsaken me?" Mm-hmm. But even that, you're just like, how wonderful to know that even Jesus could be pushed to that limit where, you know, his spirit would just cry out. It's like, wow, this now is unbearable. And, you know, then, of course, you know, he experienced the fullness of the Father's love for him. So we get some really gross things happening to us and some really horrendous things take place, and not just for us personally, but in our families, extended families, and then in our nation, you know, you're constantly seeing the news and whatever. So if he really fills everything in every way and is able to do far more than we can ever imagine, in as we complete this Lent season and going to our celebration of Resurrection Sunday on the 1st of April, that's awesome. I mean, we need to be filled with a sense of awesome. And it doesn't mean all our problems go away, but bigger than our problems is the one who holds all things in his hand. And even if we grieve, you know, and struggle and strive, and you know, so thank you for the birthing thing too, because that's right. You know, it's like it's probably the greatest struggle ever, but the result is this new life, this miracle of new life that is just so amazing. So each time, you know, we're in this human condition, but wow, we have so much. So the open secret of Colossians 3:16 is that as the word of Christ dwells in us richly, we are filled, we are super saturated, so that the only thing we can do, as Fuchsia Pickett would say, we just become oozing Christians. We just ooze out. There's too much of it, and we can't contain it anymore. So the point, super saturation is when things start spilling out. And that's where we are, and that's what we do. So, as we move forward here, let's pray for Smiths. Let's pray for the family unit of Smiths as they are rejoicing here today, but I know they continually face these issues. So, don't know if we can pull you guys together or not. But.
Together.
You're together. We'll gather around.
Yes, we probably
let's
need to go.
Let's gather around and
Shane says we should move.
Make it easier. Shane says, here we go. Hey, I'm not sure super easy. I'm just saying.
No. It's just
pray
easier for them.
Pray for this rich indwelling of the Spirit of God. This is going to be great.
Where do you want us?
Right here, right in the center.
Okay.
All right.
You standing okay?
Yep.
All right. Cool.
If it becomes on, I'll just sit on the floor. There's no problem.
But they're chairs too.
Yeah. No, I'm fine. I'm just saying if it became a problem.
All right. Well, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and into this family unit, Father, into their home, because this is a situation that is not always the most pleasant. And so I pray, Father, that you would just come here this morning by your Spirit, and you would invade each member of this family with the richness of your word dwelling in them. So when the enemy comes and just with the pain and the night terrors that are disappearing and all the other physical symptoms that really drag you down and just make you feel like it's not worth it, I can't continue, not another day, Father, that your word would fill them up and spill over, and there would be such an orientation, an observation of your purposes, of your abiding presence, that you're surrounding them at those worst moments, and that you would fill them with a sense of peace and purpose, and with that, the healing that would flush out all this ugly stuff and replace it with perfect health and with strength.
I just get this. Holy Spirit is really pleased with all of you. I don't know why you have to go through all these things, but you need to understand you're a real witness to everybody who knows you. You're going through terrible things, and people see that, but at the same time, you're going on with God, and you're just trusting God through the whole thing. And probably in the middle of all this, you don't realize what a witness that really is. People in this room, to everybody who knows you, wherever you go, they know that you're walking with God and you're doing it right through the middle of all of this stuff. So Lord, just come. Lord, come. Give them a peace about what's happening. It's still bad and it's hard to be upset about it and all that, but let them know that you are with them through this whole thing. You are with them.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God, so much for this home, this church that's a home. Thank you, Lord, for the family that you have put together and brought together. Lord, as the years have progressed and some have been called away or blown away or taken away, the core is here. And Holy Spirit, I pray anointing on each person here. Fall on them with tongues of flame. Fill them with your power. Fill them with your love. Fill them with your encouragement. You are our friend, Father. You have given us all that we need for each and every situation. Renew our minds, Lord, that we might be oriented to handle each and every situation we're put into. Because we have all that we need. And you are all we need. And you have provided us just the cake after the meal.
Thank you.
Giving us this family, these others. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you for Don and for his so many, whatever, many years, Lord. And thank you for your anointing. We thank you for him. We bless you for him.
Yes, Lord.
Bless and encourage him.
Yes, Jesus.
He takes steps, these, whatever he's calling, each day is calling to do. Pray a blessing, anointing on him. Thank you.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the air we breathe. You are every moment of our day and night. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your fullness of joy in the midst of all things. Thank you for the instruction to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is your will
for us in Christ Jesus. And it's for good, Lord. We see your goodness. We know your goodness in the midst of all things. Thank you.
Come against a spirit of tiredness. Spirit of tiredness, and instead, the Lord is going to fill you with the spirit of joy.
Yes.
Tiredness has to go.
Yes.
The fatigue from how this has gone on and on doesn't have to stay on you.
Thank you, Lord.
Joy can come. Joy can come. Mm-hmm. And it's only you, Jesus, in the middle of stuff like this.
Jesus.
Nobody else. It's you. It has to be you.
Lord, it's enough for me, at least. You know, I'm probably the least wise person in this room. It's enough to hear from you that you're pleased with us, because you know the way I am, Lord. And the fact that my mind is fighting a war against itself troubles me deeply, not just because of the exhaustion and the lack of sleep and all those other, you know, I could spend 35 minutes lecturing about problems. What bothers me the most is I don't feel like I could truly be a good soldier for you when my own brain is spending all this energy trying to kill itself, Lord. Mm-hmm. The fact that you've kept me alive this long, despite the many times my body just stopped working, or stopped breathing, or stopped doing things, and you bring me right back.
Yeah.
You were the shock pal, so I didn't need that.
Yes, Lord.
And I thank you for allowing me to live longer just so I can serve you longer.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you, Lord.
Lord, I just want to cut off the power of the lies when the enemy tries to send these messages to Shane. Father, we right. see him as a mighty warrior, and we see him as one who is strong and who is has his vision fixed on you. And this young man has dealt with more junk in his few years than many deal with in a year, lifetime, and yet we see him straight and strong as an arrow, and one who is going to do much damage to the enemy and to all of his nefarious schemes. So, Father, thank you for Shane. Would you protect his mind? Would you give him peace in his thinking as your word saturates him more and more? I just pray that you'd give him peace from some of that inner turmoil, that narrative that is constantly running between our ears. And sometimes it just really takes on the character of a rant, and it just never gives us peace. And so I just pray that there would just be a stillness.
Yes.
And that you would lead Shane's brain beside quiet waters and allow him to know peace and know restoration. And so this crazy intelligence that you've given him, Father, his ability to discern and to speak, and his prophetic edge that you have obviously given him, that it would shine and that he would hone those gifts and he would have the freedom to go forward, to lead the charge in Jesus' name. So I bless you for Shane. Thank you for this young man.
Healing in your brain. Yeah. That your brain would heal. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
That extravagant love.
Yeah.
You just had a dose of it.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's a feast.
Thank you so much.
I got soaked in it this morning, so.